The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PLAEUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. This is episode number 92. Iron Game Chalk Talk is a weekly podcast where I bring you experts in the field to talk shop. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to us on iTunes or YouTube or join the mailing list at ronmckeefer.com to stay up to date with the latest guest and anything else that we have going on. Real excited to have Fred Ease with us today. Fred is the head strength coach at Battleground Academy in Tennessee, and he's done a fantastic job there. He's been working mostly in the high school arena for several years. And, you know, we get into his journey. We talk a little bit about the different places he's been and what he's been able to do with no budget and with a budget. We talk about training the multi-sport athlete, the high school athlete. We get into a little bit of being able to take that multi-sport approach and then turn around and individualize it. And just a ton of other great information. So I know you're going to get a ton out of this. Before we get started, though, want to make sure we recognize all of our sponsors: IgnitionAPG.com, Sorinex.com, PlayUSA, and then, of course, EliteForm. EliteForm is a technology company based in Lincoln, Nebraska. And, you know, we talk about them quite a bit and got a chance to hang out with those guys and recently did a podcast with a coach over in Australia that just installed 30 or so units and just on top of their game right now. They just released a great feature called the calendar view. It's something that, you know, as a strength coach, you know, you constantly get technology in and you play with it, and there's little things here, little tweaks there. And what's great about EliteForm is that they've heard the coaches, they've addressed the issue. But now, you know, using Strength Planner, you're able to plan out your workouts and, you know, assign them a day that you expect for them to happen. But, you know, we all know that things happen, you know, injuries, sickness, maybe, you know, you're pushing the workout to your, you know, incoming freshmen or something along those lines. They're not able to do it the day of. And so being able to change workouts out at the user's interface is huge, and this has been a great feature that they just added. So if you have not already checked out EliteForm, go like them or follow them on Twitter. Always putting out great information, but a company that continues to be for the strength coach and try to use technology, not in an evasive way, but in a way to assist what we already have going on. So make sure you check out EliteForm. Most of you know my wife and I, several years ago, adopted three kids all at once from the Ukraine. And, you know, one of the toughest things that I ever had to do was leave that orphanage. You know, we went for one, ended up with three. And despite that, you know, doing as much as we could, you know, there were still several kids there, you know, calling mama, papa, wanting to go home to a great family. And, you know, we felt compelled to start a foundation called Adoption Game Plan. Adoption Game Plan, basically the goal is to identify a coaching family that has a heart for international adoption and then help them fundraise a cost. I mean, you know, at the worst case, you know, we're going to be able to do what we can do and help assist. But, you know, we're looking for to help them fundraise the cause, because that's really the thing that keeps a lot of young families, especially like we were, from doing it. And it's not so much the heart. We all as coaches have a heart for helping kids. but sometimes it's the financial part. And so there's lots of ways to get involved. You know, one is we're looking for coaches that have been adopted or have adopted. You know, we want to celebrate their stories. Second is if you're interested in adopting, you know, applying to be that family that we try to help out each year. And then lastly, just spreading the word, you know, and getting the word out there about what we're trying to do and helping. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/adoptiongameplan. The website should be live by the time that this episode goes up, but you're looking at that now. But that'll be adoptiongameplan.com, and there'll be ways to donate and do things like that. But if for nothing else, like I said, help us get the word out so that we can help unite a child in need with a family that can help provide a great life for them. And so no better people out there than coaches. I fully believe that. And I know that this is going to go and be an impact around the world. So want to get to the episode. Reach out to me if you have any questions about Adoption Game Plan. And I'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, welcome back. Excited to have Fred Eves with us. Fred's the director of strength and conditioning for Battleground Academy, and he's got a big, long title, but that's basically what he does. And, you know, he's down the road. You know, I'm back home, you know, spending some time with the family in Knoxville, and you know, he's down the road outside Nashville at Battleground Academy. And so, brother, I appreciate you coming on the show, man. Really, really enjoy the opportunity to get to talk to you.
Oh, man, thank you. Like I said, I've been watching the show for a long time, and I mean, it's an honor to be on here. There's some unbelievable strength conditioning coaches you've had on, so I just really appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely, man. Well, let's do it. Let's get into a little bit of how and why you got into the field and then kind of what the path that you've taken to get to where you're currently at.
Well, honestly, I became a strength coach by default. I thought I was going to be a football coach, and I was personal training in college, and I was a good school around the area, had an opening for a strength conditioning coach. So I was like, all right, maybe I'll do that. I'll kind of help with that and get my foot in the door football-wise.
Yeah.
Within about a month, I realized that I didn't really want to be a football coach. So it was a quick transition. I started loving it. I was like, oh, this is my deal. But, you know, it was – and you probably remember back this. This is early 2000s, you know, late 90s, and – there wasn't a lot of information out there.
No.
It was like, how do you teach an Olympic lift? How do you periodize a program? I mean, it was, you know, the internet was barely around, so it wasn't like you could just Google something and come up with how to be a strength coach. So it was a lot of trial and error, and now I look back, like I look at some old programs I wrote, like, oh my gosh, I'm surprised I wasn't killing kids. But that was my journey. I was at a really good private high school, kind of an afternoon job, stipend. I interviewed with the head coach there, who's kind of a legend, and he remembered me as a player. We had played against them, and you know, he's kind of like, "Hey, man, I might have some money to pay you, I might not." And I was like, "Man, I don't care. I'll take it, whatever." And within a year, I was actually one of his highest paid assistants as a stipend coach, because he felt like that position. He knew the value of the position of the strength conditioning coach, and how much we did with the kids year round, and you know, the influence that we have every day with them. So he made that a priority for himself and for his program, and we were very successful. And but you know, as I was there, I realized that I needed more growth, and I wasn't going to get it there.
Sure.
And that's when, luckily, our offensive coordinator was first cousins with Roderick Moore, who was at the University of Tennessee.
Yep.
So I met Big Rod and Johnny and those guys, and they gave me an opportunity to come up there and intern with them. And I was interning with them and working with Alcoa High School at the same time. And, you know, Alcoa at the time, we had Randall Cobb as our quarterback. And
yep.
We had a bunch of great Division I kids that make coaches look really good. I was very fortunate there at Alcoa High School to coach with the winningest coach in the history of the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, it was one of the top programs for year in and year out.
So learned a lot from him just as far as, you know, how to build young men. You know, what do you do to build young men? And really, that's probably more about what I'm about than anything. You know, I think if you do all those things correctly, the rest of it, the X's and O's of it are going to be easy.
Absolutely. So,
you know, then from there, you know, I kind of went back into the high school game and decided that's where my heart is. That's what I really want to do. And but once again, I you know, 4 or 5 years down the road, because with a high school schedule, you get burned pretty quick if you're not careful. And I think Gary Schofield, who's been a great mentor of mine, you know, he talks about it, it's a passion or there's no way you could do it. I mean, because the hours are, I leave at 5:15 in the morning and I get home at about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. You know, half time my wife's like, why don't you go to college? Maybe you'll get some time off.
Right.
You know? So not belittling that job at all. But
the college guys are saying, let's go to the NFL. And the NFL guys are saying, yeah, let's not do any of that.
But yeah, so, you know, a few years in there, I was like, I needed something else. And so I called Tommy Moffitt at LSU, and I was like, man, I had a really good assistant at my high school at the time that was ready to kind of move up. And I let him run the summer program that year, and I went to LSU for a summer, and I got to work. I lived with Matt Bruce. I don't know if you're familiar with
him. Yeah, Olympic lifter, great. Yeah. Dale Hatch disciple.
So that was a pretty cool roommate to have. Like,
no doubt.
Yeah. And got to know Coach Hatch really well, worked with Coach Hatch. So it was really cool because I was working at LSU during the day. As soon as I would get done at night, I'm going over and working with Gail Hatch at night. So I spent 4 months down there. Just, I mean, all I did was strength and conditioning. That was it. It was an amazing time. I didn't have a worry in the world.
Yeah.
I got a check coming in from teaching in the summer. So it was a great deal. And you know, between Tennessee and LSU, I learned a very similar philosophy, very similar background.
Yep.
And, you know, I've been at several high schools in Tennessee, and I'm, you know, this year was so awesome. I'm not a bragging guy, but our football program this year, you know, we made the state championship game for the first time in 11 years. And, you know, this is the third high school that I've been at that the football program's, you know, made it to the state championship game. And I'm really, really proud of that. I think that's just such a cool thing.
Absolutely.
And of course, you and I both know, and Joe Kim will get all over you, it's all about the kids you have.
No doubt.
A tremendous group of young men. But yeah, it was, you know, I've been fortunate to coach a lot of great kids. And the high school level for me has just always been something that I really like, that type of kid. And I know you've mentioned, I've heard tons of coaches mention, you can really have a great effect on kids at this level.
Absolutely.
Really help, you know, we help these kids become men. You know, in my opinion, send them out to the world to be the kind of men that we are, we aspire to be. And that's kind of where I look at it. I tell our kids every day, man, I fall short every day. I'm nowhere near perfect.
We all do. Yeah.
And I want you to be better than me. That's my goal with you. I want you to be better than me every day at everything you do.
No doubt. Well, that's ultimately, if you're a good coach, or if you're a coach that's going to be sustained in this business, you're right. You have to have that passion for what you do, willing to do it for free type deal. But you also have to have a tremendous desire to make an impact on young men and women. And that's, you're right. I mean, you know, you just think back through your playing experience. And, yeah, I mean, I played college ball and, you know, all that. But you remember those high school moments more than anything. Everybody does. Even, you know, working in the NFL and talking to those guys, they remember what, you know, their high school homecomings and state championships and all that. So it's great when you're dealing with the high school environment. I think the biggest challenge is dealing with that multi-sport athlete. I mean, you know, especially a place like Battleground where you're dealing with 300 athletes or whatever. I mean, everybody's playing everything, you know, so how do you kind of program for that?
For us, you know, and we live in a world of specialization, you know that. I mean, we fight it all the time. And that's probably when I come in, and this is the third program like this that I've been brought in to essentially build the program from the ground up.
And
hopefully this is, you know, I don't think I'm moving around much more after this one. This is a great situation. But it was one of those things where immediately the first thing I've got to do is sell administration, sell our sport coaches on the fact that these guys are developmental athletes. They're not pro athletes, so let's not treat them as such. Mm-hmm. You know, 99% of our kids are not going to make any money playing ball. We're going to have the type of kid that's going to go, like our best player right now is probably going to go to Air Force or Navy. That's probably where he's going to end up. That's the type of kid that we're dealing with. Super smart kid. The demands of school are very tough. I mean, I heard Donnell talk about the Citadel, and our school is very, very rigorous academically. So we do a lot of things like he talks about should you be getting sleep right now? Is that really what's going to best serve you?
Right.
And so when we're dealing with the multi-sport athlete here, we set up our, I didn't get to mention Joe Kent. Joe Kent's been a tremendous influence on me. We run the tier system here. I do it, you know, I've kind of meshed it with what I learned from Tommy and Coach Hatch and those guys. And, of course, just continue study. But we have our own little version of it like everyone does.
Sure.
Which is ultimately what I think Joe wants everyone to do. But we have our own version. We have five different levels in our tiers. We have our Wildcat program, which is going to be all the developmental stuff, mainly the body weight stuff. You know, we're just going to build those guys up from the ground up. I'm a big believer in relative body strength. You talk to guys like Ethan Reeve. He's a guy that really hit home with me when I met Ethan and spent some time with
Absolutely.
Him. Man, these guys have got to have relative body strength. So that's really, if I'm just summing up, to keep it short, our Wildcat program is about relative body strength, fixing any, you know, if we got some corrective issues, working on that right there, trying to get that right. And then they kind of graduate up to our white program. We do everything by colors. Mm-hmm. So it's white, gray, gold, and blue. White's going to be the basic stuff. You know, just basic stuff with our guys. We're going to start with a hex bar deadlift. We're going to learn how to do that properly. We start with the overhead squat, and I get a lot of flack over that. That's, maybe that's the Gail Hatch influence on me. I look at it like this. I feel like if a kid can overhead squat, he can do any squat.
Yep.
But essentially our progression for squats as we go through the programs is their emphasis on the white program is going to be overhead squat, and that could be a body weight overhead squat.
Right.
That could be PC, kettlebell.
Yeah.
It could be a variety of stick, a variety of things. And if we can't do that, we may start with goblet squats for that kid for a while.
Right.
Then we're going to graduate up to front squats. And then as they get, mainly by the time our kids, if I'm just putting it all in a big basket, junior and senior year. Junior year, they're going to be back squatting, but it's not going to be at a heavy load. And then their senior year, they're going to be hitting some heavy back squats.
Yeah, that's good.
And I feel like structurally, that's been really good for our kids. We don't have a lot of low back. Injury-wise, we've, you know, knock on wood, we haven't had an ACL here, not since I've been here. We haven't had major stuff. We've had a few labrums. That's probably the biggest deal that we deal with from our kids that are playing baseball year-round, pitching coaches that believe they ought to be throwing year-round and things like that. That's probably the labrum is probably the biggest thing I deal with.
Well, I think what, you know, and that's Green's a great point, you know, is okay, great. We got the five levels.
Yep.
And I think, you know, especially when you're dealing with some of the younger female, you know, the freshman male and female athletes, sometimes they'll be like, okay, cool. Yeah. I've never really been in a weight room, so this is cool. But now as they get into the sophomore year, junior year, it's like, I want to be back squatting heavy like that guy,
okay.
You know, or the coaches come in and they're like, you know, X school down the street has, you know, 5,500 pound back squatters. Why don't we, you know, how do you protect against the, I want to do more faster?
We are quality over quantity. We do a lot of velocity based training on Tendo units. That's one way that we do that. You know, I am very fortunate that our head coaches, I don't report to a head coach. I would not be let go if any of them were let go, including our football coach. But at the same time, I have the mentality that I work for them.
Sure.
So I go through and I present and explain to them what we're doing, why we're doing it. Because ultimately, our philosophy here is we want to create the best athlete that we can create. You know, is that maximal strength is a part of that, but it's a part. It's not the end all.
Mm-hmm.
So our coaches understand that you know, there's many different ways to do that. That it's all about, you know, we talk about slow roasting the turkey, man. I mean, we're not gonna cook that guy up quick and burn him up.
Yep.
And there were some injury issues before I got here. And our, you know, one thing I think when you come in at high school or college, anyone, you better get your athletic trainer on your side. And he's one of my good friends. I mean, we hit it off from day one. And he does a tremendous job getting our athletes back on the field. And you know, I pretty much coordinate with him. And he believes in what we do. And he sells it to our coaches. And he sells it to our administration. Ultimately, I think that's the biggest thing.
Sure.
I don't think I totally answered your question on the multi-sport, and I know people want to hear that before we move on from that.
Yeah.
For me, training the multi-sport athlete is more about manipulating volume than it is anything. We keep the intensity high. We look at who we're playing. If we're not playing someone who's very good, we're kind of – it'd be more of an off-season top lift that week.
Yeah.
We're going to get after it pretty good. If it's a team that's, you know, defending state champions or whatever, then we're gonna unload a little bit right there. But they pretty much go off of a modified off-season program. I reduce the number of exercises and the volume.
Okay.
You know, that's what it comes down to with dealing with the multi-sport athlete. But if you don't, it all comes down to, you know, my book that I don't know how I got turned on to, didn't get turned on to triphasic training sooner than what I did. An unbelievable book.
Yeah, Cal.
It comes down to, like Cal Deet says, man, it comes down to stress. If those guys ever have any new stress on them, they're not going to get any better.
Right.
So our coaches understand that we are going to have – we're going to pick and choose our spots, but we're going to find ways to create stress during the season. That doesn't mean we're going to go out and do an hour-long plyometric session.
Right. Now, the challenge that I would think would be, okay, is, you know, an in-season program for me – varies. You know, if they're not playing, it's a 4-day a week program. If they are playing, it's a 2-day a week program.
Yeah.
You know, there's really no true off season in a high school setting, I would think, you know, because they're going to baseball, they're going to track, they're going to, you know, they're playing travel baseball in the summers, you know. Is it 2 days year round? Is it four, you know? It's,
depends on what level you are. If you're going to be on our white or gray level where you're probably not a varsity guy, then you're on a, you're lifting 3 days a week. We do a 3-day total body split. We lift on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, speed on Tuesday, speed and movement, recovery on Tuesday, Thursday.
Okay.
So if you're a white or gray program and you're not playing a lot and you're lifting, I mean, you're in an off season because they're not going. I mean, football is one of the most brutal sports. Brutal collision sport. You go to practice; those guys aren't taking the blows that the guys are taking on Friday nights.
Right.
So, you know, we take into account. I still adjust some of the volume for them, but they're going to really focus on, just like you would in an off season college or an in season college program with your redshirt guys. They're going to get after it. You
Absolutely.
Know, they're going to get after it. And that doesn't mean maximal load get after it because we're still teaching those guys.
Yeah.
And I kind of look at that as part of it too. Well, they're really not, you know, they're not pressing. It's not like they're hitting 90, 100% of what they can do. They're still learning. So let's go through the gamut with them. And, you know, and then from that point, when we get to the gold and the blue program, those are going to be the guys that are going to get 2 to 3 lifts a weekend, depending on where they're at, what their schedule is. Football is going to lift twice. But we actually lift 3 because we'll do a game day. If their class happens to fall on a Friday, we'll do a game day lift to stimulate that central nervous system just a little bit. I don't want those guys sitting around all day and doing nothing.
Well, that leads me to my next question. Is it part of the class blocks, or is this time after school or before school?
We have both. We have essentially, I would say, 80-90% of our athletes are in during the school day.
Okay.
The problem with that is I have a short amount of time with them. I think Sko talked about this, where it's like 50 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think he gets 90 minutes, like on Tuesday, Thursday or something like that. I get, every 8 days, I get a 75-minute period because everything's geared around the academic schedule.
Okay.
So it's not geared around what we're doing.
Cause yeah.
If it was us, I'd like to be on block schedule and have them for an hour and a half. Every
right,
day.
Right.
So we have an 8-period rotating schedule, and there's no way I could possibly explain it to where you just had to live it to understand it, because it's new this year, and I'm still getting that. But essentially what happens is I get the kids 3 to 4 times a week.
Okay.
And I have to marry our in-school program with our after-school program because we have kids who academically can't fit it into their schedule. So when I look at, that's why I say our lift days are Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Our speed and movement days are Tuesday, Thursday. The only time I deviate off of that may be with football most of the time. Or it depends on a game.
Friday night game, yeah.
Yeah, and I have an assistant, so I may take half that group that needs to lift. I'll take them in the weight room, and then he'll take the guys out in speed, or we may flip-flop that, whichever way we want to do it. That's the benefit to having an assistant. I couldn't run it like that if it was just me.
Yeah.
It'd be very difficult. So we can do it that way. It's all about your situation. What works for one guy may not work for our situation, but we have essentially, I'm going to see them 3 to 4 times a week in the class period, and they have every day after school, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we have a lifting session. Tuesdays and Thursdays, speed and movement. So if let's say as an example that you had me in class on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Right.
Monday, you would need to show up after school to lift because you didn't have me on Monday.
Yep.
Tuesday, you would get your speed movement stuff done in class. You'd be good. You wouldn't have to come after school. You could go straight to practice or go home or whatever it is. Wednesday, you would have to come and finish because there's no way you're going to finish in the 35 minutes that I have.
Right.
Thursday, of course, you would do it during the day, and then Friday, you would need to come after school. That's kind of how that would work for that kid. So it just kind of rotates off of their schedule.
Right.
So, you know, Pat Ivey's been a big influence on me too. I just graduated. My wife's like, you already got a master's degree. I just went back and did the educational counseling and psychology because Pat and I both spoke at the Hammer, and it was like,
yeah,
man, that's good stuff. Yeah. So I mean, it was like, I was like, man, they're doing some good stuff. So I went and visited with Pat for a few days, and
mentioned
the program to me, and I nailed it. And, you know, got it done in a year, and it's been unbelievable. But I give our kids a lot of autonomy. We expect them to. We have high expectations for them, and we have expectations that they like to meet, that they want to meet. That's the type of kid that I'm able to coach, kids that want to meet high expectations.
Absolutely.
So that makes my job a lot easier because I don't have to send a lot of emails say, hey, little Johnny didn't make it on Monday. I didn't have him in class. That's going to be very isolated. They're going to do what they're supposed to do. which of course makes all of our jobs easier when you're not chasing them down.
Well, I talk to our staff quite a bit about this, is when the structure makes sense, then it's a lot easier. You know, if it's like you said, you didn't come to class, if you didn't have a class, you come after school, and that's it's very simple that way. Yeah, you set yourself up for success, and you know, like I always talk about our situation because we train football. You know, when I was at South Florida, especially early, we had a small weight room. We had 10 straight hours, and I ate my sandwich on the floor. Right, as I've grown and gotten better and built staffs and things like that. I mean, we train in two big groups. We have either offense, defense, or power and skill, and we still provide all the same accountability. We do it that way because we keep it during their practice schedule. So in the off season, we practice from 2:30 to 6:00. You know, and so our lift groups fall between 2:30 and 6:00. And my thought process is if Johnny is back in his dorm room and Joey's playing freaking Nintendo and the other guy's sleeping and he has to go lift, he's going to choose, I'd rather sleep or play Nintendo, you know? But if Johnny, Joey, and Jack are all at the weight room or they're over there doing something, you know, then they're going to want to be where their friends are at, you know? And so you just try to make it as simple as you can for them to have success. And it sounds like you're doing that there. But one of the biggest challenges that we talked about, you talked about it a little bit with those five levels, and that's kind of how you individualize programs. But even there, I mean, it's kind of like, okay, now I'm a football player, baseball player. You know, how do you individualize for kind of the sport?
All of our coaches understand we're very concerned about proper movement patterns. So we're going to have the same. I mean, to me, I look at it, and these guys are developmental kids. It's going to be very similar. They need to be doing very similar stuff, in my opinion. We don't get too specialized. Where I will get a little more specialized in their in season, because I understand the demands of the sport. I mean, you know, we're not going to do some things with a baseball player in season that I would do with a football player in season. Just really more in their in season program is where I will be more cautious, because it goes back into the old thing. And, you know, I've heard you say this, Johnny, Joe Kent. I mean, every great strength coach says this. If they're not on the field, they're not any good. Yeah. We're not going to get hurt in the weight room. That's not going to happen. There's not going to be an injury in here where coach can say, what in the heck were you doing, man? What were you thinking? And I had to learn that lesson the hard way early in my career. I had a kid catching some pretty heavy cleans, and he broke his wrist in the middle of baseball season. And, you know, and he even went home and said, Dad, I didn't do it the way he taught me. You know, it was my fault. But it was like, I should never put him in that position. Right. He should have been pulling. There, you know, we want, for the most part, in season, our guys aren't going to catch cleans. We're going to do pulls. And, you know, people like that. People don't. It works for us. You know, I'm a big fan of it. It takes some of the stress off of them. I look at it this way. With the high school kid, a lot of times, you're not going to get them to get to the load that you want to get them to anyway if they're having to catch it, if they're coming after, you know, lifting after practice and before practice. Where am I going to get the most bang for my buck? I can get a guy to do a heavy pull. They're not afraid of doing that.
Right.
But, you know, I just look at what am I going to do? My philosophy is always, what's going to get the absolute most out of this? What am I going to do to get the absolute most out of this kid and get them to the point that I want to get them to? And that's the way I look at those things. We get more individualized a little bit in season, but I really, like our sport coaches understand, you know, maybe cross country is one where we get a little out there a little bit with some of the stuff, just because we want them to be interested, man. And that's a big thing in high school too, is we change it up.
Yep.
They're kids, man. We stick to our program. Don't get me wrong. We're tier system. We do it. But, you know, we change the summer a little bit because that's only a 6-week session. So we kind of go off of that there. We do a lot of strongman stuff in the summer that the kids love. And, you know, with a lot of our sports, we just try to keep it fresh, man. Always give them something new. I mean, that's the challenging part for us is, God, we got to come up with some new stuff. You know, it gets harder and harder to keep coming up with new stuff. You think, man, that was pretty creative. And then it's like, and the kids expect you to up the ante every year. They expect something even bigger than better. They can't wait for the summer. So they're like, what's he going to come up with this year?
No doubt. No,
sometimes you throw the science out the window a little bit and let the kids have a good time, man. They're awesome kids.
Absolutely. Well, that's, you know, we go kind of a modified block system, but with, you know, kind of 5-3-1 and Windler in there, and on that fourth kind of unload week, that always becomes kind of a special workout for us. You know, we do something crazy. You know, we've done marine based workouts, we've gone whitewater rafting, we've gone hiked mountains, we've done, you know, all kinds of stuff. But But yeah, you're right. I mean, you got to keep the, you know, one of my 10 principles of strength training is to add variety.
Yeah.
And you got to keep it. You got to keep it fresh. And I thought one thing that I want to make sure that I highlight that you said was, it's what we do, you know. And I almost open every presentation I give with, hey, look, you know, you may or may not agree with me on this, but this is what we do, and it's what works for us. And you're sitting here listening to me, so tough, you know. But
yeah, listen for at least the next 50 minutes.
That's right. That's right. You know, but that's just it. I mean, nobody's in your situation. Nobody understands all the variables.
Yeah.
And that's why you can't be a closed-minded strength coach. That's why you have to constantly, you've throughout this entire episode, you've mentioned, you know, great leaders and mentors in our field, and constantly searching and finding new ideas and challenging your way of thought. I think that's the best thing that you can do as a strength coach, is constantly evolve and have lots of tools in the toolbox for when you need them for various jobs, you know. But, you know, I think, you know, we talked a little bit off camera about the profession of strength and conditioning, and specifically at the high school level. And, you know, when I came in the field, when you were coming in the field, you know, people were making jobs. Like, you know, the head strength coach at Eastern Michigan probably didn't exist when I got into the field, you know. So there was these pioneers that kind of set out and created something from nothing, you know. I constantly talk to our young strength coaches about high school strength and conditioning being the last frontier here, an untapped frontier of job opportunities, you know. And you obviously have a spot at one of those schools, but there's thousands out there that don't have a strength coach. You know, what advice would you have for strength coaches that are maybe having a hard time finding that college or pro job that everybody wants, right? But, you know, but to go into a situation, kind of create a job, because you said it early on, and I thought that, you know, something I want to highlight as well was that, like, you know, you took that first job with, you know, pay me or pay, don't pay me, whatever. I'm going to make it. I'm going to go. And then all of a sudden, you know, you show the value of it and you become the second highest paid assistant on staff, you know? And so, what recommendations would you have for somebody wanting to pursue a job in strength and conditioning at the high school level?
You know, I think there's two different routes. I'm at a private school or independent school, whatever, you know, whichever way you want to call it. We're not religiously affiliated, so usually in our world they call it independent school. You don't have to be a certified teacher in an independent school. I actually am. I think it's good that, you know, if you're doing exercise science as your bachelor's, get a teacher certification with that. Because most schools now are getting to the point where they have a weightlifting curriculum during the day, public and private. Everybody's moving to sports, just keep getting bigger and bigger. Academics just keep getting tougher and tougher, and they're looking for ways to be able to get it done during the school day. So I always tell the guys that are interning, I've got an assistant, I have a couple interns. I'm like, hey, if you want to do this, man, you need to get a teacher certification and make it easier, because then you broaden where you can do it at. If you're not certified, then it just comes down to a private school. And I know, like, in the Nashville area, those are coveted jobs. I mean, right. My job, Innsworth School, Montgomery Bell Academy, you know.
Macaulay.
Yeah, Macaulay, Baylor. Those aren't easy jobs. And once we get here, most of the time we stay for a while.
Yeah.
They're good jobs. They pay well. You know, it's a good deal. So I think that way you open yourself up to the public schools. And, you know, I was at Alcoa High School, which is a great public school. I mean, there's some really good ones out there. But I think it comes down to what you mentioned is wherever you're at, and Joe Kent talks about this a lot, and I absolutely love it, because I feel like my job's the greatest job in the world. And I've always been like that, whether it was – I've had great weight rooms, and I've had 800-square-foot boxes.
Yep.
that I keep a picture of in every presentation I do. Where it had no heat, no air. We opened up the garage door. We cleaned in the parking lot. Did speed agility in the parking lot.
Yep.
You know, now I'm lucky. I've got a 6,000-square-foot weight room with Mondo hammer and a 40x40 indoor turf attached to it.
Wow.
You know, like I do, Coach. You've been in Tennessee. You've been in Eastern Michigan. You can make it work. You can. You just got to be adaptable to whatever situation you have. So whatever job you get, man, make that the best job in the world. I mean, If you go after that job with passion and you work hard, administration's going to notice. Administration notices I'm the first guy here and the last guy gone. They notice, and when I ask for something, they give it to me.
Yep.
I don't ask for it. It's got to be for the kids, and I've got to justify it, but they don't tell me no when I ask for it, because they know that ultimately that's what it's about. And I think those things, you know, that to me is, if you really want to do this in high school, you know, start beating the bushes down. I mean, most football coaches don't want to do the weight room too.
That's right.
They don't want to do that. They've got enough going on, man.
Right.
I mean, our head football coach, man, he's an administrator. I mean, he comes through and pats guys on the butt. He's not coming here to coach. You know, that's not his deal, man. But he does all the other things great. But he's not a weight room guy. So I think that's it. You know, as far as to try to make it a career for you, I think you need to get a teacher certification to be able to broaden that.
Right.
Then from that point, you've been at the high school level. Because I know a lot of guys that I've known from college have tried to get in the high school level and just gotten tired of moving or whatever it may be. You're like, man, I can't. You know, it's getting to the point now where administrations in high school are like, hey, he's a college guy. Does he really understand the high school kid?
Yep.
They want guys that understood. And I know when I interviewed, there were a lot of people that interviewed for my job, and that was – probably the thing that was marketable for me was, oh, he's worked at colleges and he's been in high school. He gets it. He understands both worlds. And it's very different coming, you know, when I first came, I've been at UT for a little while. I come back to high school and I'm like, oh, man, shoot. Man, I know how to train. We're going to kick everybody's butt.
Right.
And I was at a school where we were able to do that because we had great kids. It had absolutely nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
As I found out later on when I went to another school and thought I could do that, we got our butt kicked a little bit. Well, you got to have great kids. But, you know, just understanding that, you know, you don't know everything. And the older I'm getting, the more I realize the less I know.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, like I said, the teacher certification is a big deal. Going out there and just being aggressive, man. Contact people in the area that you're in. If you're working at a college right now, and that's what I did. I mean, I was at UT and you know, I got lucky and got hooked up at Alcoa High School and was like, man, I'll come over there. I worked with them. Since we got done at UT, I was over there. So I think that's a good way to do that. It's a tough question in the sense of it depends on your area and what's around you. But, you know, these jobs, just like you talked about, there may not have been a strength coach job at Eastern Michigan years ago. These high school jobs, in my opinion, are just going to continue to grow. Because I'm amazed at, like, and it's humbling, the people that come to visit you.
Right.
That just, you know, call you, hey, can I come visit and see what you guys do? I mean, people are interested in high school strength conditioning.
Absolutely.
That's been a big focus for the NSCA. It's something they really want to grow.
Well, I think, you know, you know, what I've told our staff, and you tell me if this is wrong, because I've been saying this for quite some time.
I'm sure.
Well, I think, you know, there's a couple ways in. I think, you know, obviously you got to think about the dynamic. And just like there was early on, you know, with strength and conditioning, a lot of strength and conditioning coaches got in as that ninth football coach, and then they kind of started, you know, they coached tight ends and they had the weight room, right? You know, it's the same thing with high school where you got to kind of get in the academic side first, and then you kind of work your way in. And so I would say, look, if you don't have your teacher certification, go get your substitute deal, get your $2,000 stipend to be the football coach.
I agree.
Stay and run the weight room. You know, I'm going to run the weight room, and then, you know, run a camp in the summers, you know, for all sports and start to get other sports involved. And you can charge for that, and that can start to be supplement your income. But, you know, get your way into like a teaching role where you have a steady income, you know, because, you know, coaching stipends at the high school level, they're not, you know, you're not going to get rich off that, you know. But eventually, once you're in, then you have the opportunity to start to get more people involved and start to get the administrators involved, and you kind of start to – you're making this investment in. And what I've told, you know, a lot of these coaches that will have aspirations of going on is, hey, okay, great. Now you have a little bit of time, not a lot, obviously, with your schedule, but, you know, you got a spring break or you got a Christmas break or you got some things where possibly now you can go out and do little mini internships. You know, like you said, go to LSU for a week and say, hey, can I just be a fly on the wall?
Yep.
But you got money to do that versus being an unpaid intern and just going from unpaid internship to unpaid internship. You know, you just don't have the money to keep that up.
No, and that was probably one of the big things for me. I mean, I'm a kid that grew up dirt poor. You know, that's probably the thing that I think can be a little bit discouraging about the college game is how many guys are doing multiple unpaid internships,
right?
Because there's such a influx of people in the field, and there's just not enough jobs.
Right.
And, you know, I think that you know, for me, it was kind of like, man, I've got to eat. You know, at some point in time, I've got to eat. And I was able to get a teaching job, and I mean, that, you know, that's pretty good money for a kid coming right out of school to be able to do that. You know, right. I didn't have the, you know, I've got a guy right now who's coming to intern with us this summer. He's actually Coach Rankin's son, so I keep trying to talk him out of being a strength conditioning coach. But, But I mean, he's passionate about it. He's going to be a really good one too. Yeah. But he's got a structure that he would probably be able to do, you know, be able to set up to do a couple internships and get set up at the collegiate level pretty well. But if you don't have a means of support with parents and things like that, it can be very hard to do multiple unpaid internships.
Yep.
You know, and like you said, I think you're right for telling your guys, hey, that's a gem out there. You know, they're out there and get you a little money in your pocket. You know, I would tell guys that are going to get certified, man, if you're getting PE, that's great. But I would get – here's the thing. Like in Tennessee, you could add – I was a history. My bachelor's degree was secondary education history. So that's what my initial certification was in. All I had to do was pass a test, become PE certified.
Yep.
So get your certification in something. I wouldn't recommend history either, by the way. think math, science, you know, along right. those lines of being able to get a job pretty quickly because yep. they're dying for those teachers. But if you can teach one of those things, add on a PE, and then when that – it's exactly like you're talking about. When that PE spot comes open,
you're working.
You're in. That's going to be you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right on with what you're telling your guys. It's, you know, and I think it's when I was at Wood Buchanan and I got that job, you know, initially where I wasn't getting paid, I remember thinking, man, it'd be really cool if they would just pay me to be a strength coach at a high school like this all the time. And now I get to, you know, I get to do it every day.
Yeah.
You know, I get to do it at the level that I always envisioned that I would be able to do it at, which is a lot of fun. I still get, like I said, I was joking about my schedule earlier, but I mean, I get to go speak. I get to go visit people. I mean, you know, we get enough time off that I get to go spend some time with people.
Yeah.
And I get to develop professionally. And I've probably grown more in my role here because luckily I've got a school that supports that and allows me to do that. They want me to be the very best. They want me to continue to grow.
Well, I'll tell you the other thing, and this is, you know, the other thing I harp on typically is the fact that, you know, I don't really truly feel like you know as a strength coach what it means to be a strength coach until you've been the head strength coach. You know, until the buck stops with you, you're having to deal with the administrators, you're dealing with the head coaches, you're writing the programs. And I get it. Yeah, okay, well, I'm designing programs for the soccer team and the golf team and the tennis team. But when you're having to deal with, you know, the money sports and yep. the administrators and have that kind of stress and kind of have that type of accountability and all that, you really don't get it until you sit your butt in that chair, you know? You can sit there and say, I deal with the athletes this way. Well, wait till you're sitting in that chair and then tell me. And so, you know, the great thing about that is you're right. I mean, you can become a head strength coach kind of right away, and you're having to deal with all those things. And you're developing those skills. And the other thing about it is you determine whether or not this is really the role for you.
Yeah.
You know, because there's strength coaches every year that get out of this profession because they're great technicians, you know, and they know how to teach and coach the lifts, and they like to lift. But all of a sudden now they're having to manage people and resources and time, and they're having to be entrepreneur and kind of always thinking out there and how to get better, and they don't like that part as much, you know, and so they decide to get out, you know, and so I've always kind of leaned towards that. I think that's a good breeding ground for good strength coaches to continue to develop their craft.
Oh, there's no doubt. Coach Moffitt said a lot when I was down there at LSU. I mean, he's like, man, some of the best high school coaches or some of the best coaches in the country are high school strength coaches because yep. you're dealing with, you know, the resource that you're dealing with, and ours is usually going to be manpower. That's going to be what we deal with more than anything. If having we get back and next week, I'll have 100 kids on the turf.
Yeah.
So we'll have two, you know, I'll have me, my assistant, maybe two interns to 100 kids. That's a lot of kids. That's a pretty large student to teacher ratio right there. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right on with that too, Coach. It's a great. For me, it's helped me develop as a person. I mean, I go back and think about, you know, how was I as a leader? How did I, you know, there for a long time, I didn't have to lead anybody. It was just me. I was doing the weight room. Now I've got a staff. And I've got a staff I run our curriculum from kindergarten through the 12th grade. So I have a middle school staff. I have a lower school staff. And
wow.
I mean, I've got to have people who are, you know, number one, I've got to build camaraderie with that staff. Number one, have people we can trust and that I know are going to be, you know, that are going to buy into my philosophy for yep. what it should be for, you know, I get to put my hand on a kid from the time they walk in as a 5-year-old in lower school and kindergarten until they're 18-year-olds. And I've got to have that person that believes in the philosophy that I have and what we should be doing movement-wise at the lower school level and what we should be doing at the middle school-wise with our kids. And so I think, you know, for me, that was probably, and I love, and I'm right on the same thing with you where you talk about the way, the book, what you do, the books that you read. You read something about strength conditioning, you read something about leadership, and I think you're doing entrepreneurship, because I'm kind of right on that same tram. Not as much of an entrepreneur as I should be, that, you know, I'm usually hitting two types of leadership or something right there.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to develop as a person to be the best leader for them, because I want, you know, you mentioned it with Pat Ivey staff, and I saw it when I was out there. They love that guy.
Yep.
I mean, they would run through a brick wall for him, and that's how I want my guys to be with me.
Absolutely.
I want them to run through a brick wall, and you know, same thing you want for your athletes.
No doubt.
And ultimately, I think that comes into, you know, them knowing you care and them knowing that you're willing to do whatever it takes. I mean, I don't care to put this on the record. I didn't take a pay raise so I could hire an assistant.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you know, our head of school talked to me, and I don't know, hopefully they don't watch this. I'm probably not supposed to get this information out. But it was one of those things where it was like, hey, you're going to be teaching overload. You get paid this much more for doing that. And I was like, man, let's hire this guy. He was an intern. He came in and interned with me for free. And, you know, I always try to – I want people who are different from me. And he's got a younger guy with different perspective, nutrition background.
Huge.
And, I mean, he came in and, you know – he came in and was willing to do. He was old school, man, like it used to be. He didn't care, man. He'd scrub floors with toothbrush.
Yeah,
and it, man, that guy would do anything. And those are the type of people that you want in your program.
Well, again, I mean, we talk about this quite a bit on the show, where it's not about just being qualified anymore. It's not about just, you know, having the credentials. It's about knowing, liking, and trusting you, and you know, because there's I get 700 resumes every time I put a job out there. And so you got to separate yourself somehow. But, you know, I want to, you know, we always kind of end the show with some resources here. And so what's the best piece of coaching advice you've ever received?
Best piece of coaching advice I ever received was from Robert Akins, who was the head coach of Boyd Buchanan School. He's also president of the school. My first real strength coach job. And, you know, he said, I want you to know that, you know, if you ever think you know it all, then you need to get out of coaching, because you're no good to the kids and you're definitely no good to yourself anymore. So that was probably the best piece of advice. And that's kind of something I'm trying to carry with me. And, man, when I get up and speak, I'm going to be the last guy to tell you that I don't know everything, man. I'm studying my butt off and I'm reading and I'm learning every day. And, you know, and I don't know that we know everything as a profession. There's so many, you know, we haven't nailed it down to an exact science yet.
That's right.
There's a little bit of trial and error in there. And, you know, for me, that's probably the best thing. You know, my kids, man, The most rewarding part of my job is the kids that I coach. And I've got a group this year that's graduating I'm really tight with that, you know, it's going to be one of those things where I think some of my younger guys are a little worried about me when those guys cross the stage. But those are the type of relationships you want to have. I feel like that every year.
Sure.
They're my extended family. They're my boys. And, you know, I always tell our kids that this is, you know, I'm going to love you for the rest of your life. You're a part of my life. You're my extended family. And I think, you know, believing in that, and I don't think you can ever truly be a success in coaching until it really is all about someone else.
Right.
And I think when it's all about someone else, you know, the sky's the limit for how far you can go. And I think that trickles down into team concept. When you see guys who just want to fight for each other and lay it on the line, those are your best teams.
Right.
Those are guys they'll cross lines that they wouldn't cross for the brothers.
It's the biggest form of leadership is servant leadership, you know, and that's what you have to have to be successful in this field, bar none, you know. What about a quote that you either live by or you have posted up in your weight room somewhere?
I've had this in every weight room here. We're not real big on posting anything up here. Our head coach's philosophy is he likes everything pretty blank. That's just what we do. That's who we are, and I get that. I'm with it. But probably, you know, one for me, and this quote was taken, is from St. Thomas More, that, you know, he was speaking about Henry VIII. I've got a history degree, so I'm a little bit of a history nerd.
Yeah.
But, you know, he said, you know, for if the lion knew his own strength, then no man could hold him, no man could control him. And he was talking about, you know, we ought to tell Henry what he ought to do instead of what he can do, because he could, you know, he can do whatever. But to me, I look at that quote, and it means a lot of different things for me. You know, for me, I don't think the kids that we work with or the athletes we work with a lot of times understand how good they could really be. Mm-hmm. If they understood how strong the human spirit is. We look at stuff that the SEALs do and some of the humans that are on this planet do. The human spirit is an unbelievable thing.
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, when kids start to, when we start to get them to kind of exceed what they believe in themselves, and that's ultimately what I think our job is. I want you to, you know, whatever you think your level is, we want to find a way to get you above that level. That's kind of my overall overreaching philosophy. And I'm talking about athletically, as people, you know, whatever endeavor it is, academically, whatever it is, let's shoot for the stars, man. And let's be, you know, let's take the steps to get there. We talk about the law of the ladder with our kids, law of the harvest. They understand those things. But let's shoot for the stars, man. Let's work to get there every day. But that quote to me just really hits home with me, because I feel like, you know, if we understood how powerful or how much of an influence that we can be in people's lives from time to time, what a difference we can make.
Absolutely.
So I kind of take, maybe I just take it, do my own thing with it. But that's kind of what I see when I look at that.
No, quote. That's a good one, man. I like that. I haven't heard them.
And they're like, what in the heck? I don't know.
Well, you got a guy from East Tennessee quoting Henry VIII. We got to, you know.
Man, I'm telling you, you don't know anything about Tudor England, I'm your guy.
What about a book recommendation, maybe inside strength of the issue, outside strength of the issue, and then app and website?
Okay. I'm an avid reader. Like I said, I'm trying to be on the train like you, man. I try to do a book a week. I'm telling you, like I said, I mentioned earlier, triphasic training I thought was really, really good. There's some things that I can apply. There's some things that I can't do with our kids out there. But I thought the perspective, I think Cal Dietz is a genius. I mean, some of the things that he does I think are really good. As far as other strength conditioning books go, man, there's so many go. Everybody mentions Super Training. I mean, you always got to go back to that one. Coach Ken's Coach's Strength Training Playbook, I make all my interns read that book. They have to read it. Because I think Coach Ken does an unbelievable job of showing someone how to set a program up, how to do a program. And, outside of that, man, Joe Ehrman, Inside Out Coaching, one of the greatest books I've ever read. There's a ton of those. Mindset, Carol Dweck, which, you know, these are probably redundant. People read these all the time. It is what it is, but I love that stuff. You know, I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. What about, is there an app that you use for your own productivity or for with your athletes?
Yeah, we use Coach's Eye, which is pretty standard. We do use Omega Wave, which has been pretty cool. I've got 11 personal units, and we take kind of our top, you know, like in football, we took our top 11 guys, and I monitored those guys, and they come in every morning, and, you know, we'd use Omega Wave app on there and kind of keep up with their heart rate variability. And,
yeah.
You know, luckily we found out we were doing some good things. So that's kind of, we were, you know, usually on a Friday we were a 9 or, you know, about a 9 on readiness level. We were ready to go. But it, you know, it also told us some, you know, kind of told us maybe some guys were having a little too much fun on the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So it came in on Monday.
Well, if you're dealing with college kids, it's too much fun during the week.
No doubt. Website-wise, I really Excel Athlete. I've been reading a lot on Cal Dietz's, of course, Elite FTS. I need to get probably more web savvy than what I am, but it's like you can Google almost anything. Whatever you want to see, you Google it up. There it is.
That's exactly right. Well, it's deciphering the noise, you know, anymore. It's the challenge. You know, it's constantly trying to dwindle it down. And I talk to our staff, and what we try to do as a staff is we try to pick one area. So whether or not it's speed or nutrition or flexibility or kettlebell training or whatever it is, and for a semester. We focus purely on that, and so we decipher out the noise, and we say, okay, the only thing we're going to read for a semester is about kettlebell training, you know, or whatever, and so it's a good way to kind of define your path, you know, and we try to find books that correspond with that and go, but you know, it's so much out there that it's paralysis by analysis.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I think in this generation, what separates really good strength coaches from those that aren't as good, one is, you know, work ethic.
Yeah.
And two would be being able to decipher what you can actually use and apply. Just because you go down the road to, you know, or you come visit with me, you might not be able to take back everything that we're doing here. You may not have an assistant. You may not have two or three interns. Being able to decipher what you can really use and what you can't.
Right.
And understanding the limitations of, okay, because they're using Omega Wave at that high school. That doesn't make or break my program whether I can do that or not. Or because they have a 10-0, you can still get better.
Yep.
There's still ways to get better. And I think when I first got into it, I thought you had to have a beautiful weight room and have the resources that we had at the University of Tennessee to be successful. And the longer I do it, you know, man, I was at a school where we were using strongman implements because the stuff was free.
Yep.
You could go to tires anywhere. I could buy kegs for $50 a piece from, you know, or go by the go by the frat house, and then, you know, they just throw them out to you. Here you go. You know, I mean, we did a lot, so we didn't have much to train with. I think it's really, it comes down to, and that's why I keep going back to it, but it comes down to stress.
Yeah.
You know, are you putting your body under a different type of stress? And that's why we set the program up the way we do with the five different blocks, because it naturally encourages long-term athletic development. So if I'm looking at our white program, your total body, you know, your total body lift, your core emphasis lift there will be a hex bar deadlift, where when you're on the gray, it's going to be a hex bar clean pull, or maybe a high block pull from the hex bar. And then
right.
we're hitting clean, you know, power cleans, and when you're on the gold, and then your periodization changes a little bit when you're on the blue with your power clean. So that's kind of how we, you know, we're pretty linear with the high school kid. I'm a big believer in progressive overload.
Yep.
But we will with the, especially if I get the elite guy, I get the D1 guy, we may go into more some concurrent within the blue program with them.
Sure.
It just depends on, you know, if that guy's a grown man or not already. I don't have a whole lot of those. We try to make the very most out of what we got. And, you know, it's, to me, I take a lot of pride in that. You know, we didn't win the state championship, but there were a lot of comments out of all six games that we had the two biggest hits in the state championship games.
That's
you know,
awesome.
And to me, that's a direct reflection on what we're doing in here. You know, because I can't do anything about a punt blocked or anything like that, but we can do something. When we get there, when we get to the point of contact, that's what we do.
Absolutely. It's the bully factor, right? The bully factor.
Yeah, a little bit. And we had some kids who, you know, that are good to work with.
No, that's awesome, man. Well, buddy, you're doing a great job, and I truly appreciate you coming on the show and sharing so openly, and I know – you know, we're going to link up kind of all your contact information and all that, but I know that you're an open door, that you're willing to let anybody come and hang out, and I know that you speak regularly and things like that. So I'd encourage everybody to get out and listen to you speak, and man, like I said, I truly appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with Iron Game Nation here.
Man, anytime. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, Coach.
Thanks, buddy.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.